00, and then we'll be moving over to Film Fight Club right now.
Saturday?
What day is it today?
Wednesday.
Exactly.
Hi, this is Laurie Imbruglia, and I'm here to wish to SER a happy 40th birthday.
Welcome to Film Fight Club. I'm Glenn Falcon, I'm at Falcon Screen, and we are joined by Sydney filmmaker Chris Evans.
What up, peoples?
And freelance writer and critic Virat Nehru.
40 years young.
Now, it is...
He's not 40 years old, by the way. Oh, 2SER
is. 2SER is.
But Virat Nehru is not 40. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I'm just feeling like it these days. But yeah, I'm not, unfortunately. Or fortunately, I don't know, which one of those ones. Yeah.
So it is 40. And if you are interested in the history of 2SER, and it's actually really interesting history, go over to the projects in Redfern. I was there for the launch of the exhibition.
107 Projects, that is.
Yes. Thank you for the clarification, Chris. Yes. 107 Projects in Redfern, right opposite from the Tudor, and there's an exhibition on the history of 2SER, which we are here to talk about this week because it is the 2SER support drive. We could not make Film Fight Club, and the others on the station could not make the programs they make without your generous support. So we're asking you, whatever you can, please do give this week. There are different types of supporter packages. We're going to run through them, but we do appreciate your support, and we do appreciate all you do to keep us going and fighting and talking about movies.
Yeah, 2SER is... Hey!
Oh, I think there might be a phone call coming in now. We yes. just heard, well, this is great. We can't... I think Anthony's on the phone who's picking them up, but yeah, it's great.
Thank
it's
you
great.
For our fans and our listeners who call us right when we're talking because we're so amazing.
We'll give you a challenge this week. We will fight about any film if you suggest it.
Exactly. We'll probably fight about it, actually, because we haven't been fighting as much. We only recently begun fighting from our last episode. So, yeah, our fighting...
We're a very genteel fight club here at Film Fight Club.
Film genteel fight club.
But don't just pick a movie. Pick a subject, pick a director, pick anything, and pick something you know we'll fight about. You know us by now and what makes us tick and what makes us angry and excited.
And pick if you don't, what better way to get to know us?
Exactly. Pick a bad musical like The Greatest Showman, which Glenn loves, and it is
terrible. Glenn does not love The Greatest Showman. It has more redeeming qualities for which than it is given credit. Certainly there are many good, excellent numbers. The Zac Efron number with Zendaya is very good.
This is Glenn's way of saying, I love The Greatest Showman.
Did you guys...
More redeeming qualities than it is given credit for is code for Glenn saying, I effing love
it
this
It is the
movie.
Greatest show!
No. No singing. No singing today. We're asking for money. Okay, yes. We need to do a professional presentation. We're not singers that you will pay to listen to.
This is not vaudeville, but almost close enough.
I mean, Hugh Jackman sort of is.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
But between all of this nonsense, we're going to review Judy today, by the way.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about Judy, which is in cinemas tomorrow, the new film from Renee Zellweger about Judy Garland, the icon.
So that's what that was about.
What did you think it was about?
I just didn't know.
Virat didn't see it, and but also, I think he thought it was a Judy Dench.
You're thinking Judy and Punch. That's a different bad movie.
And that would be great, actually, because she did look like Judy Dench from the sort of posters
and
stuff.
She kind of does.
Yeah.
But it's just the haircut. That's
the compliment, I think, because I think Judy Dench is a fantastic actress. Anyway, I wasn't making an appearance comment.
See the trailer for Doolittle, by the way.
It looks so bad.
But it's just one of those films where you can tell from the trailer that nobody knows what they're doing.
With Dr. Doolittle, the original, the Rex Harrison version, is one of my most watched films as a kid. I wasn't a fan of the Eddie Murphy films. Go back and watch the Rex Harrison film when it's a giant snail. Great song speech from Henry Higgins himself.
Real actual animals who ruined the production. Instead of CGI ones who also ruined this production.
Okay, Alex
the rumors are that this is a really troubled production, which I believe, since it's coming out in January, it's had a title change. Rumors are that behind the scenes turmoil, they had a different director come in with a different writer for reshoots. But just watching the trailer, it was like, what is the tone of this meant to be? Like, they're not really telling you a story. They're just showing you weird clips, and Robert Downey Jr. speaks a couple of times in this bizarre terrible accent.
So, and if you do want to hear us, if you're Dr. Doolittle down the road, please do support 2SER. The number to call in on, and Anthony's on the phones right now, is 95149500. That's 02 9514 9500. Or you can donate at 2SER.com/support.
Yeah, if we run out of money and 2SER closes before January, there will be no highly anticipated Film Fight Club review of Doolittle.
And Cats.
But
Cats, yeah.
Yeah, I've been
we need to review Cats.
We need to review, oh dear.
Yeah, I've been checking our reach, and I think we've reached some really interesting places all over the world. So I think we need to reach other corners of the world,
yeah,
which we never get discussed.
This is the power of 2SER. Apparently, our podcast is very popular in Vietnam.
Good morning, yeah. Vietnam.
Hey, Vietnam, if you're listening, we appreciate it.
Love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's, oh, God. Did we just say that live?
Wow. Okay. I was in Vietnam a few years ago. It is the loveliest country. I was in Hoi An.
Look, I've heard they're not big fans of napalm in Vietnam, right?
No.
For good reason, I think, yeah.
They are fans of our show, for which we are very appreciative.
Yes.
And Ireland, apparently, my favorite place in the whole world.
One thing you might not know about Glenn yet from this show is that he is obsessed with Ireland.
I'm getting excited by Chris's green shirt right now.
Yes, I mean, he's so obsessed with Ireland that he even made himself Irish in his own short film that he wrote.
What?
I think.
No, he didn't make himself Irish, but he played a fan of Ireland.
Yes.
Oh,
okay,
right,
yeah,
I know what you're referring to now. Yes, and if you want to hear us talk about our own films too, and ourselves, what other opportunity will you have to donate to do so? I'll make sure that keeps happening. Ah, oh, yes, yeah. Bumbling was quite a fun watch. Yeah. Chris was playing a version
of me.
Hang on,
you mean quite a fun film to make? Quite a fun watch? We're not allowed to review our own films. That's one of the new rules of Film Fight Club.
We should have done that instead of doing Judy. We should have just reviewed Bumbling.
Like, well, are we going to do Judy, or are we going to just keep telling you that if you go to 2ser.com/support, you can help keep us going?
Yeah, there's some cool things. Our concession donations, 40, standard is 80, and there's passion lifetime supporters where you get a free shirt. And if you're a lifetime supporter, a gift pack. I'd be told the free shirts come in a lot of sizes. As it was described to me, the extra extra large is big enough to fit Orson Welles or all our snide opinions.
Yeah.
So, please donate. Oh, so there's a bunch of cool events coming up around the 40th anniversary. Vic on the Park in a couple, on the 26th, they'll be broadcasting live.
Yeah, we're going to have 2SER DJs playing music from 12 till 9 on the 26th of October. So we'll be there, actually. I'm planning to go there. So
I'll be there because that's also during the World Cup semi-final. And I've actually been to a couple of games of Vic on the Park. So, yeah, I'm going to just go to watch 2SER and then watch the Australia-New Zealand game. It's the only World Cup that matters, the Rugby World Cup.
No, the only World Cup that matters is cricket. But anyway, fair enough.
They've changed the rules. We should fight about that, actually. That's the other show on the park, which covers sport. They're going to talk about the rules changing. Cricket that just happened, very consequential. But that's what we're about. We're all about film. We are going to talk about Judy. But one last thing I want to touch on.
We're not going to talk about Judy.
Oh, no.
We're not going to talk about Judy at all. We're going to leave her out of this.
If you want to hear more references to David Lynch, as we do every week, then you basically have to donate to 2SER.
Yeah, but look, 2SER is the only station that would allow us three nerds to rant about films we like.
Yeah.
Have
like a 2.5 hour just rambling discussion about Joker
and Swiss Army Man.
And Swiss Army Man.
3 years after it came out. Like, yeah. It's the thing you've all been waiting
and
for,
this is the
discussion of Swiss Army Man. But if it is the thing you've been waiting for, it's on our podcast, and you can donate so that we can keep making this kind of content.
95149500, because we have given this new segment every week, Movie of the Week segment, which isn't necessarily contemporaneous. It could be about a subject, an issue that is years past, but something you want us to talk about.
We've paused it for these supporter drive weeks because we've been strictly instructed not to talk about film too much. So,
on which, just this Dr. Doolittle thing, the accent, it reminds me of the terrible Sherlock Holmes films where he has like, Watson, what have I done?
No, but those were not that terrible.
I still think
those were the best Guy Ritchie films because the things that he made after them were even more terrible.
So best Guy Ritchie films? There are only two good Guy Ritchie films, and they were from 20 years ago. They were from over 20
but
years ago.
But is Lockstock actually a good movie?
It's entertaining, and the characters are very well drawn.
So you
it's a character.
Lock, Stock, and Snatch, right?
Yes. That's what I'm referring to.
Did you ever see Revolver?
No.
I heard that is just so weird that it's kind of amazing.
No,
I want to check. It's like a
psychologist.
I've seen
the original Revolver, like not the Guy Ritchie version.
Did you mean Rock and Roller?
No. He made a movie called Revolver, which got buried, and it involves a psychologist like talking and explaining the film or things like that. And it's
Penelope
a crime.
Cruz
it's a gangster. No, it's a gang. No, no, no. It's a gangster movie. It's
yeah,
a British gangster.
I have heard of. Yeah,
but it just sounded incredibly bizarre in ways that might be terrible. But I feel like I still have an obligation to watch it.
Is Indy doing like the Kingsman Part 3? Kind of thing, which is now the Gentleman, but it's called the Gentleman.
You know, but the connection is that Matthew Vaughn produced Lock, Stock, and Snatch.
Oh.
So we will.
They all look the same.
They're all kind of just not great.
Well, we
did review one of those a little while ago. Oh, so there are any good British films? The British Film Festival is coming up. I caught a preview of the British Film Festival.
Did you just
say,
are there any good British films?
I said there are many good British films. Okay. That is in no way show solidarity with the English rugby team who are playing Australia on the weekend, but Britain do produce a lot of good cinema.
The thing that you raised actually about Dr. Dolittle kind of reminded me, because I have never seen the Rex Harrison films.
It's great.
My
Walk
first
with the Animals. Talk with the Animals.
My first introduction were the Eddie Murphy movies.
Oh,
and they were terrible.
I'm so sorry.
And they were terrible. So I was just like, why is there such fondness for Dr. Dolittle as a franchise?
The Eddie Murphy films had nothing to do with the character.
Same like with the Nutty Professor.
Not the Jerry Lewis.
Actually good versions of the film, but now.
We should have a Jerry Lewis episode of Film Fight Club.
Oh, gladly.
But we can only do that if you donate to 2SER.
Yes. Again, 2SER.com/support 95149500. There's different prize packs or donation packs you can get. And we really, really do appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So we can tell you how The King of Comedy is so much better than Joker. Because basically, that's...
Nobody else is saying that. No, but we shouldn't be self-deprecating. We should promote the things that we actually do that nobody else does. Like tell you that...
David Lynch.
It's great. Yeah.
And
nobody else likes it.
Terrence Malick.
Or Terrence Malick. Only me.
If we're going to go, only Terrence. There are a couple of good Terrence Malick films. We will review the new Terrence Malick, as Chris alluded to. But some of the things we actually are proud of, we do a lot of festival coverage, a lot of local festival coverage, which we adore, whether it be the Sydney Film Festival, we'll cover the British Film Festival, up to the Underground Film Festival.
It's getting hard to follow just what's going on in Sydney. We used to have resources like Urban Cinephile, but that's closed. Here's a good time to promote, since this is our self-promotion episode, Glenn's website, Festivez.
Oh, yeah. It's a festival database. All the festivals are happening in Sydney around the country. We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
It's the online database where all the festivals reside. And there's a human database, which is Ian Barr, essentially. But those are the only two people, it's online and AI and human-related, who know
film
everything
club
about film.
Is also a thing I'd like to promote on this episode.
Yeah, they're doing a pretty cool event tomorrow night.
Yeah,
with Static Vision and Pink Flamingo.
That's right. They're running a screening of the new Damon Packard film, Fatal Pulse. I've never seen a Damon Packard film, but I remember years ago at the Chevelle seeing the trailer for, I think it's called, Reflections of Evil. And it's kind of haunted my subconscious ever since. So this should be a good opportunity to see. Basically looks like zero budget trash, but really interesting.
Yeah, $10 tickets, 7:30 doors for 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Pink Flamingo.
And
next Tuesday is Long Day's Journey into Night
is screening at the Palace Norton Street Cinemas. It's being put on by Static Vision, which is put on... It's a series of screenings, which is presented by our friends Felix and Connor. Connor Bateman and Felix Hubble, that is. Yeah.
Or Content Bateman, as I like to call him. Dan Content.
So that is happening Tuesday night.
It's a 3D Chinese art house extravaganza. And
it's premiere. It's
never screened in Sydney before, and it's a film that I think will really reward you seeing it on the big screen, because who has a 3D TV at home?
We had this whole controversy earlier in the year about it being marketed as a mainstream love story and people feeling they were duped when they ended up seeing an art house movie in China.
Well, we're telling you straight up front, as we tend to do on 2SER, that this is an art house movie.
Because we believe
95149500. It's 02-9514-9500. So let's talk a little bit about Judy.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, which, if you want to read my Judy review, it is up on Festivez. That's Festevez.com. Judy is the new film from Renee Zellweger and director Rupert Gould about the...
Rupert Gould.
About the iconic...
Gunning for Oscar Gould, though.
Well, she is, and she'll probably get it.
Yeah.
About Judy Garland. It covers two chapters in her life, the early era prior to The Wizard of Oz being released, and the later era... In the late 60s, when she was a resident at a London concert town hall.
Well, it's not just prior to Wizard of Oz being released. It's just snatches. We also see her doing some kind of musical review type movie where she's now, I guess, an established star. But really, it just covers one chapter. I didn't find the flashbacks just come through every now and again, and they're where my issues with the film start, because the first one is the way that the film opens, essentially.
Actually, I took a different view.
You like them?
The flashbacks were my favorite part, which was strange to me because the best thing about this film is actually Renee Zellweger and her performance, but she wasn't in the flashbacks. The flashbacks were good because they were surreal. They were harkening back to this era of Hollywood, which is now looked at in much harsher light and constantly debated. Certainly that styling was started with Billy Wilder in Sunset Boulevard, and to an extent, Singing in the Rain, looking back at this era, not in this completely nostalgic sense, but in a darker, tenser way. And I love how surreal it was. There's a sequence where they celebrate her birthday, but it's not her birthday. And there's a cake she can't eat, and there's water she can't swim in. And the colors, it reminded me of actually a lot of the, I think, more attempts at what David Lynch is trying to do. Not on the, certainly not on his level. But what he was trying to, what others who try to emulate him pursue. And I think it did it relatively well here.
I think, for me, those sequences felt a little bit too, like, telegraphed, and stagey, and biopic-y, and speechy. Like, it's always a moment for a person to get up and make, like, a big speech about, this is the way things are going to be around here, Judy. And they're very slick in a way that contrasts with the rest of the film, which goes for a slightly more naturalistic kind of style. For me, the bigger issue, though, isn't so much with those individual scenes, but that I didn't find that they satisfactorily tied back to the actual story, like to the main chapter of the film. Really, for this film to succeed, I think it needed to get below the surface of Judy's suffering, because she's an alcoholic, she's addicted to prescription drugs, and she's a wreck in the main chapter of the film, which takes place at the end of her life in London, where she's doing her final series of stage reviews. But I don't think this film really satisfactorily dived below the surface. You just see the events. You see that she's drunk, she messes up on stage, relationships break down. But for a film this long, I want to see more about why did the relationship collapse beyond just that she's difficult. Why is she suffering so much? And I think the film tries to get at this with flashbacks to say that she's been traumatized and she's been put on a path to poor emotional function from an early age because of suffering such abuse at the early studio system. But I don't think the connections were really strongly made. I don't think it got there. I don't think it succeeds that well as a character study.
So we're going to be talking more about Judy when we come back from the break. We are in the middle of the supporter drive, so please do dig deep. Please donate what you can to 2SER. Again, there's the standard Passionate Lifetime supporters. You get those T-shirts and the gift pack, especially if you're a lifetimer. That number is 02-9514-9500. And you can also donate at 2SER.com/support. Anthony's on the phones now. Please call in, and we at Film Fight Club will be right back.
On the Money is recommended for mature audiences only. It may and probably will contain explicit financial language, strong business themes, economic violence, coarse financial accounting, nudity, and credit references. 2SER recommends discreet listening once per week at 7 p.m. Thursdays.
Attention bookworms, we're giving you the perfect night in this supporter drive. We've got a prize pack with a $100 Glee Books voucher, a one-year digital subscription to the Saturday paper, and to top it all off, a $200 voucher from online wine retailer Drinks.com. To be in the running, head to 2SER.com/support and become a supporter today. Entries close on October 25th at midnight. 2SER celebrating 40 years of supporter-funded radio.
Love horror? Love manga? Check out the free exhibition, Retro Horror, Supernatural and the Occult in Post-War Japanese Manga. See over 70 original drawings, plus iconic reproductions, then get comfy in the reading lounge with a range of horror comics in English and Japanese. From October 18 to January 24 at the Japan Foundation Sydney Gallery. Get your fright on. The Japan Foundation sponsors 2SER.
Considering postgraduate study? UTS offers strong connections to industry and understands the demands of your changing work environment. So don't leave your future waiting. Join one of our postgraduate info sessions this month. Whether you're looking to advance in your current field, change your career, or take the next step in your study, join us to explore where postgraduate study can take you. Search now for UTS postgraduate events and register today. 2SER sponsors.
Discover Sydney's unique cultural history through the eyes and ears of 2SER. We've opened up our archives to the public in our very own exhibition, so you can explore the quirky stories and characters that have made up this beloved station since 1979. Learn about 2SER's role in the underground 90s dance music scene and some of the interesting perspectives that have come out of Sydney's local and independent newsroom. Check it all out for free at 107 Projects in Redfern from October 10 to 20, or head to 2ser.com/40th birthday. Stay for more information. 2SER, celebrating 40 years of supporter-funded radio.
Here's a little throwback for you, all the way from the 80s.
2SER is part of Australia's alternative radio network, broadcasting diverse and informative programs throughout Sydney 24 hours a day. Keep it alive and subscribe.
We were still preaching all the same things we love about 2SER, just like we are today. To become a supporter in 2019, head to 2ser.com/support and help us celebrate the last 40 years. And here's to another 40.
Here's to another 40. Welcome back to Film Fight Club. And yes, that number again for the 2SER supporter drive, please do dig deep. We do appreciate it. Is 95149500 or 2ser.com/support. And again, if you donate, and you want us to fight about anything, a film, about like someone's great terrible taste in movies, we'll fight about it. Just let us know. We're down.
We've fought about Modi on the show.
Pick a fight
we've
with
had
us.
Our fair share we of don't, politics.
There's not really much of a fight to be had regarding our opinions about Modi here.
No. So, or local politics, really, we're kind of not too disturbing. But movies, we have diverse opinions.
Yeah, that's true.
And it is
about the political climate now. Movies are all about politics and the Democratic nominations.
We'll fight about how quickly we think climate change is going to, swamp the inner Sydney.
The Hollywood and the Kodak Theatre.
The only impeachment we care about is the scene from Call Me By Your Name.
I see what you did there.
I get it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a similar gag going around on Facebook earlier today, and I didn't get it. I needed to hear it out loud. Yeah. So that's what radio brings you.
There you go.
Yeah.
So juicy content.
Donate to SER.
So for juicy content.
So head on over.
For juicy content.
Next week in the 26th, the Vic on the Park. There's awesome prize packs of T-shirts, and yeah, we're talking about Judy. So picking up on Chris's comment earlier.
Seems like such an Oscar bait movie, to be honest.
It is an Oscar bait movie. It's an Oscar bait for Renée Zellweger more than anything else. Like, she probably will win the Oscar for this. My take on it is,
but should she? Actors who play great roles in mediocre movies win Oscar?
I didn't say it was a mediocre movie. I don't think it's a mediocre movie. I think it's better than most musical biopics, which isn't a high bar. It does a lot of the walk hard things. You know, the text scrolled across the screen, the standard struggling star. I do appreciate that it doesn't work to an extent as a character study, because they try, even though they focus on two chapters of her life as opposed to covering the whole thing, they try to pack way too much in. We have references, the whole narrative with the Finn Wittrock character, her fourth husband, was it entirely separate thematically from the story of her struggling on the stage as a star. Tried to bring back her personal struggles, including as regards her relationship with her third husband, played by Rufus Sewell, and they reference Vincenta Minnelli throughout the film, and certainly Liza Minnelli in terms of her family.
She makes
someone who was miscast as Liza Minnelli, I should say. But they try to put too much in here. They could have focused on the early era, so they're just purely the Wizard of Oz time. They could have focused on just this late era. They could have focused on one of her relationships and made a film out of all that, but they chose to, even for the limited amount they pack in, to pack in way too much, and it's too much to tell and convey properly within a two-hour movie.
I think it could be done. It's just that this film is, like I was saying before, super surface level. Like, I don't feel like they were able to really delve into the depth of any of the characters. Everyone outside, like I said before, Judy has some really dark depths that I don't think it satisfactorily gets down to. I know that maybe what it sounds like I'm asking for is easy answers to a very complex person and a very complex problem of how a person loses control, basically. But I feel like there could have been more depth in going into her suffering, and I feel like maybe the film was afraid to go there. Because it still, despite being a film about quite a turbulent time, has a kind of light, airy, the senior citizens can go and catch this at Dendy lunchtime feel
and,
to it.
And you know what? That is the core audience. The core audience is people who know Meet Me in St. Louis, who know A Star is Born, and want to go see a Judy Garland biopic.
It's too compromised a film to really delve into this subject matter with the darkness and the depth it deserves.
But it's the British Film Festival audience.
Yes. Well, but it also has to do two things importantly. One is Judy Garland's name has been widely raised in relation to as a historic example of the issues the Me Too movement has raised. The film does go into this in some detail. I agree with Chris that it could have gone into more. Another aspect of it is that Judy Garland has for many years been a major icon in the queer community. And I should note that I saw this film with Renée Zellweger in attendance at a queer screening over at the Randa Gritz not too long ago. It is a matter of debate, the extent to which Judy Garland was either cognizant or aware or necessarily interested
she
in
was
the fact
aware
that she...
That it was brought up in... I've seen that it was brought up in interviews before she died.
My point is that she wasn't necessarily aware to the extent to which she had a following within the queer community or the extent... And it's debated the extent to which it was relevant to her. The film... And to that point, it may not have been included in the film at all, but the film does have one sequence where it touches on this thematically, and I quite like the sequence. It's one of the more touching and heartwarming within the film.
I was conflicted because on some levels that sequence is touching. I agree that it is heartwarming, but then they try to call back to it towards the film, and it's such an obvious telegraphed kind of movie moment designed to give her this big triumph to leave the audience on a positive note. But the way that it brought in these gay characters from earlier in the film was ridiculous, I thought, personally. Like, it's such a, like, okay, it's the movie moment. I can't really get out what I want to say because it's a spoiler.
From our perspective, it was pretty outlandish.
Very on the nose.
I still enjoyed that moment, as I did the new dimension they gave to Somewhere of the Rainbow, which is her most famous song. And actually, Chris and I were chatting about this off air. It's arguably the most famous song in the history of cinema.
It's probably the most famous movie film ever. We were talking about what movie films songs we should play if we have to faff around too much on this episode. And we didn't think to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
No.
But,
no. So,
guess it's not that popular. Hey.
So we can play it in the subsequent episode, but to do that, you know, we need you to, you know, keep supporting 2SER. So please do donate. The number is 02951495000. Anthony's out there to take your calls, and the website is 2ser.com/support, and there are those cool prize packs.
How do we feel about...
I should say gift packs and the shirt.
Yeah. How do we feel about Renée Zellweger's performance?
And there are prizes, I should say. There are prizes for... which are going to the draw.
Speaking of prizes, Renée Zellweger's Oscar-courting performance.
She's good. Like, She can sing. She's got an amazing set of pipes on her. She transforms into the role.
She's got an amazing set of pipes on her. Okay.
Watching her sing... Yeah, obviously it's not going to be as good as Judy Garland, but she really gives her all. She was amazing as a singer. But for me, I find it difficult to think that we should give prizes to these sort of bland Oscar bait movies because, like I said, I think it's a testament to her performance that there's any kind of depth to her struggle because I think that all comes from Renée Zellweger as opposed to the writing. But... she's trying really hard in this movie. It's definitely... I'm not just saying that it doesn't work or that it's bad, but there is a tendency for us to give awards to, like, this actor's really, really trying.
And she is, and she makes it worth it. She's by far and away the best thing at the film. I was chatting to a critic outside after the movie, and he made the comment, which I broadly agree with, the film is good when it gets out of her way, when it just allows her to perform.
Which is what the performance, the scenes of Renée Zellweger singing do. It's great.
Oh, it's grand.
Yeah, because, yeah, she's embodying Judy Garland. It's great, but it doesn't work when it at everything else it tries to do. And all of the side characters, like the personal
they're nothings.
Assistant.
Oh, no. Jessie Buckley, she was good.
She was good, but she
it was such an underwritten role.
The same
as was the Finn Wittrock role.
Yeah,
it was
her new husband.
Yeah.
That relationship, we see...
And the Michael Gambon role, too.
Yeah, we see a wedding and then the relationship fall apart and you're confused as to why or what happened there. It would be better off either just being alluded to or not being in the movie if they weren't going to supply real interpersonal dynamics to that relationship and show us why she went into it, why it fell apart. You don't get to know Judy Garland very well in this film.
So Judy is in cinemas tomorrow. And thank you for Queer Screen for putting on the premiere just a week ago. We will be back next week talking Supporter Drive and more movies and in the coming weeks, thanks to your generous support.
We'll talk about El Camino, the Breaking Bad film now on Netflix.
Yes, very good. One of the better films of the year, in my view. Certainly a much better film than Judy. And the number to donate to 2SER, and there are prizes and there are cool packs. It's 02-9514-9500, and the website is 2SER.com/support. Stay tuned for The Sonic Assassin. Come on the 26th to Vic on the Park. Check out 107 Projects in Redfern. It's a really cool exhibit. Stuff I didn't know about 2SER and just more broadly broadcasting history in Sydney. And the amazing amount of people who've walked through these doors and contributed. We really do appreciate your support. This has been Glenn Fowngs and Chris Evans and right there on Film Fight Club. Thank you to all of us from all of us at 2SER for your support. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy movies. Good night.
Next week, we'll see you again.